We're a little uncoordinated this morning. Pastor usually handles all the details. But since he's not here, we'll just go ahead and give you an opportunity to give to the Lord this morning. And come in with your tithe and offering. Come on up, gentlemen. This is a great blessing to be able to give to the Lord. You hear that a lot. But it's a fact. And I've proven it in my own life over the years, and probably most of you have too.
Yeah.
If you haven't done it, you need to try it out, because you can't outgive it. He's such a great God. We love him so. Father, we give you praise this day. We thank you, Lord, that we're able to come to your house and to worship you and to give to you the offering that is due and to pay off the tithes that are due. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you that you're such a giving God, that you love us and you take care of us and you take care of all our situations, even when we don't deserve it. Lord, we just lift you up this day. We pray for Pastor that you touch his body, that you bring him back to us, be appointed out. Pray for Sister Pat also, that you give her strength to help him through this time. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this offering. We pray that you bless the gift and the giver. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
praise the Lord. Do you have peace this morning?
Yes.
Amen.
Peace only comes from God. There's temporary peace. There's momentary peace. But only God can bring true peace. Let's continue to pray for Pastor Nikki this morning. As he's recovering. Tell you a little bit about myself. I've pastored for about 12 years. When I was young, I was lost in the rock and roll era. And when the Lord saved me, He changed my song. He changed my mind. But I love shouting and dancing for Jesus. I'm not going to stop. Forever, for I will be in His service. Because He shed His blood on Calvary just for me. At once, the love of Christ was not in me. I was not prejudiced. I hated everyone equally. And when Jesus changed my life, I loved everyone equally. If Jesus Christ will change your soul, change your heart, change your direction, He will change your mind. He will change your speech. I'm nothing great. I'm just a servant. This morning, I am the backup quarterback. I am not Pastor Mickey. Pastor Mickey is a veteran and is an awesome minister. In which I am proud and honored to be a part of this church. Y'all are awesome individuals, full of love and encouragement. Pastor Nick and I were talking. I said, before we close this deal, I want to come sit in a service. I felt love. I felt growth. And I felt that God was on the brink to heal hearts. To heal the past, to close the doors of yesterday, and open up a path to today and for tomorrow. That's what Christ does. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. God bless you. Thank you for allowing my wife, Rose, and I to be a part of this church, and we're going to become a part of this church. And unfortunately, under these conditions, I love preaching. I enjoy it. But under these situations, I wish it was better. I wish Pastor Mickey was here. And the first thing that this morning about 8:30, I got a call. Pastor Mickey was in the hospital. I said, okay, it's on, baby. Let's get together. Let's do this thing. The second thing was when Tom said, well, I guess you're preaching today. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I said, we'll find out after the service tomorrow. But I am so thrilled to be here as a part of you in the body of Christ. And God bless you. Without any further ado, I want to jump into what God had given me. He given me a microwave. Everybody like instant grits, pop it in the microwave. Well, I went to the microwave this morning. I said, Lord, we need one quick. And I want you to know, God has thrown one together. And it's my job to be productive. It's my job to supply the man. It's my job to be humble. It's my job to usher in what God has for me. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost of how you see me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you have your word this morning, would you please turn with me to the book of Luke. Chapter 8. This morning my title is How to Receive Real Contact with the Lord. How to get in touch with the Lord. In Luke chapter 8, and we'll begin reading in verse 43. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you that the Word walked on earth. And we thank you for the Word while you were here. And we thank you for the living Word that we have in front of us that we can read.
We pray, Father, that the words of which we read will enhance our lives and allow us, Father, to burn brighter in this society, that our light would shine, Father, would shine out for those who are lost. May this word transform our minds, transform us who we are, transform us our walk with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray first of all, Father, the saints to be encouraged this morning from your word. I pray for those who are struggling in sin, that, Lord, they will be evangelized and set free. And the last and most important part, I pray you receive the glory from this word and from this morning in which we read. We give it to you, Father, our praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Starting reading in verse 43, now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her living on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude's thronged, impress you, and you say, who touched me?" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive the power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, and she declared to him in the presence of all the people for the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." I have several more scriptures I'm going to read, but I want to elaborate on this scripture. To give you a little bit about my past, my mom was Catholic. I was educated by the Presbyterians. But the last that completed this is when I was baptized with the precious blood of Jesus Christ of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We come to the point where we see a young lady, and we get the definition of a young lady. It's when Jesus says, "My daughter." It gives us an indication that she could be young. And because that she's having a medical condition has kept her from being married, she cannot go on in a normal life or relationship, because under the Levitical law, during the time, and you can find this in Leviticus chapter 15, that she was forbidden to be a part of a marriage. And if she was married, she was forbidden to have any type of physical relationship, because that's against the Levitical law, of which was wrote in Leviticus. So therefore, it was important for her to be healed of this issue that she has. There's also a prophetic word from this as well. A prophetic word in which also is that you see in society as well, that we need to go forth, but sometimes we can't go forth, because the reason we can't go forth is because, have you ever heard the term, that I don't have any strength because my strength, and I just feel like the blood has gone out of me. Well, let's get back to her personally. She wanted to be touched, wanted to be healed. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, great. Thank you. And as she began to go to physicians, how many of you have been physicians and you just couldn't be healed of anything? She had been for 12 years looking for healing, because it was important for her to carry on a relationship, a life, to be able to live under normal conditions, but she was unable to. Until one day the master came to town. Until one day that she had heard stories of a man named Jesus. We know this because the reason she wanted to be healed is she knew the Levitical law, which represents, I'm sure, that she was of the Jewish faith, and therefore that she was educated in that faith. But she's got one last chance, one lost shot. She's poverty stricken now. She's, all of her inheritance are gone. Her money is gone. And how many of you feel like that? You know, Rose had an uncle one time. He told his doctor, he says, "I wish you could buy a new vehicle. I couldn't afford to keep paying for them, because you keep going up on your prices every time I come see you." So sometimes in her life, this lady had hit rock bottom. But there's one last chance. There's one last hope that this young lady would be able to recover and have some sense of a normal life. And she sees him. And there, the Levitical priests during that time were long robes. You see, Jesus was a prophet. I have got a rabbi friend of mine. And we were talking one day. He says, "You know, buddy, we can, even though you're a Christian, we Jews cannot, We cannot say Jesus is a fake. The reason why is we knew when he was born. We've got history when he went to school. We've got history of his birth in Israel. We went and we can look it up. We know that Jesus walked on this earth. We knew he was real. We knew that he was a priest. You see something? The reason that Jesus had a hard time is he was a rabbi, but he preached a brand new teaching in an old-time condition. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm sorry, I love the word. And therefore, no, I'm not sorry, but we come to the point to realize that this lady had one last hope to go to the robe, and they wore tassels from their robe. Oh, he had the entire garments that rabbis wore in that day. She goes to the rabbi. Oh, she needs help. She needs healing. She wants to be able to live a life. She wants to have the house and the white picket fence, and she wants children. But unfortunately, this physical ailment has forbidden this to be. And she sticks to the crowd. If he is really a savior, if this man really is something that will benefit from me, I'm going to sneak behind. I know nothing about it. All I've heard is gossip. And she reaches behind because she has the faith. And she touches the hem of the garment. And Jesus, for a split second, goes, he feels light. Because someone has faith, has touched his garment. He says, who touched me? Because he's looking for someone who's got faith. He's looking for someone who's not scared. He's looking for someone who will step out. Hey, Jesus, I'm the one with the problem. I'm the one that suffered. It's me that's got a drug problem. It's me that's got an alcohol problem. It's me that's got a marriage problem. It's me that's got problems of which I don't want to discuss. It's me. And see, she was no longer afraid anymore. She's going to march out, and she touched the hem of his garment. And because of her faith, she was made whole. And Jesus said, who touched me? You see, when you get real contact with Jesus, when you lay prostrate in the floor, when you really begin to see Christ, he is touched by your faith. He's touched by your prayers. He is touched by the way that we just march out. Hey, Jesus, I need a touch from you. Glory to God. And therefore, Jesus was touched. And he felt the power of virtue going out. And he turns around and sees the young lady. He says, healed. You see, when we're proactive with our faith, when we're proactive and run after Christ, he's reactive. And when he's reactive, that's when we can claim what we're in search for. So many times in our life, we come up empty-handed because we got the mechanics right. Talked to my wife the other day. I said, you know, there's a lot of mechanics going on now that people know how to do it. You see, the Presbyterian back, oh, let me know. I'm not getting over there. There are some people who go through the worship. Without being into worship. We're into worship. And we're here. And the reason we're here is to uplift and to honor God. This young lady now is healed, and she can go into society because she's no longer unclean. Because Leviticus says, no unclean. See, she's not unclean. She's pure. You see, people who have not allowed Jesus Christ to transform their life, you're unclean as far as we go into gospel, as far as it doesn't mean anything. It just means that in the name of Jesus Christ, you can be made whole. There was a time in my life I was unclean. There was a time in my life I faked it. I faked going to church. I was a sinner going straight to hell. And I'd go into those holiness churches, and I'd be on the back pew, and I'd be preaching, looking at me. I'm like, oh, I hope God don't tell them I'm a sinner. If he does, I'm in trouble. Because while I'm involved in, I don't want to give up. And what I'm doing, I don't want to leave it. Oh, I would fake it. I would like, oh, let's just do this. Maybe it won't be as high. And oh, I want you to know the condemnation of the world was on my shoulders. Until one day I no longer could withstand it, and I had to go to an old-fashioned altar and to repent. We need to realize in our life that it's the faith that sets us free. It's the faith that makes us whole. But I want to go one step further. There was a society in which there was no more word. Until there was a gossip, there was a rumor that there were these three men looking for a savior. These three men were looking for someone named Christ so they could worship him. There was a lot of bloodshed, and therefore there was a silence for almost 500 years between the Old and the New Testament. And I want you to realize that that was a baby that was born, and that blood and priest is going to shed on Calvary. It's going to release you from your sins, release you from every burden in your life, not all of them, but the ones that keep you out of heaven. We have to come to know that this morning we worship Jehovah. We worship Emmanuel. Glory to God, and we're set free. If you would turn with me, to Mark, and we'll tie these in together later. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Then they came to the other side of the sea of the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he often been bound with shackles and chains. And the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken to pieces, and neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tomb, crying out, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and cried out with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me." He said to him, "Come out of thee, man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And answering, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly that he would not send him out of the country. And now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. And the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and they all were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and downward into the sea, so that they fed the swine that fled. Violently into place, so that the swine fled, and they told him to see. I'm going to stop there. That's another sermon. We see a man here. We see a lady who was healed of initial blood. And we see a man who was crying out in wilderness. How many people do you see crying out in society? I work in Atlanta. And every single day, you wouldn't believe what goes on there. You wouldn't believe what I hear. You wouldn't believe how people are bound. You couldn't even go to even understand the burden of sin that people are bound to. The chains that are on them. They have no freedom in their life. Everything in them is vacuumed out. It's been extracted from their mind, extracted from their heart. They have no freedom in their life. You know something? At our building, they filmed a clip of zombies. I'm not sure exactly remember the name of the show that they filmed there. I even met the actors there. But they filmed it in the building, and The Walking Dead, that's what they filmed. I never watched the show, and I didn't know any of the actors there, and I was eating with them, had no idea who they were. But then bring up a conversation with some, but I begin to realize that people act like zombies in society. They get up in the mornings and they go to their work and their jobs, and they come home and they're exhausted. They have no future. They have no hope. Only thing they're trying to do is make the mortgage. All they're trying to do is put food on the table. But they're bound. They're bound by sin. This young lady was bound by sin. But they all have one thing in common, and we're getting to that. And you see, Jesus Christ can break the chains. He can break the bounds. He can change your heart and your mind and your soul. And we have loved ones in our family who are bound by these chains, who are bound by sin, who are bound by diseases that God wants to cure and to heal. You see, we live in a land that we don't have to have doubt in our mind, but we've got to have hope in our mind. I don't care who our president is. I don't care which direction our country goes. I do care which direction our country goes, but I can't do anything about who our country elects as their officials. I'm not exactly sure or really care what laws they're going to pass. I'm really not too interested in what this congressman says. I am interested in what he says, but I have no way to be able to combat what he's doing. But I will tell you this. I know who my Savior is. I know who owns the earth. I know who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. I know who owns the day, who owns the sun, and who owns the moon. I'm not going to get excited about the gloom and doom of society of America, because I'm still excited the man who created it, the man who put me here, and because the Lord Jesus Christ himself, there's nothing that can be done unless it's first ordained by God. No man can come against the church. I want you to know we are safe and sound in the hands of God. Amen. Issues and problems. And unfortunately, I love alcoholics. I love them. Because God can change their lives. But when I worked with one, when I first went to work there, he hated my guts. He caused me issues and problems. He would get in my face, and I walked away. And constantly, one day, and I work with another guy who's agnostic and gay. I said, I've not had enough of this. I'm going to go find another job. Why don't you go to the office to complain? I said, no. You see, I'm a Christian. And if I go to the office to complain, they're going to say, well, Bobby, let's put up with it. I don't have to put up with it. God will open the door for me. 2 days later, I was called into the office by my boss, and she says, what's going on down here? I said, what do you mean? She said, what is this guy doing to you? I'm like, I really don't want to talk about it. She said, let me tell you something. Stuart, the agnostic, and the gay guy, goes in her office, let me tell you something. I don't know who Bobby is, really, but he's different. He does his job. He don't say much, but he does his job. He's been here for a little while, and he knows this HVAC system. He knows how it works. He knows how it's made. And we've never had anybody here, no kudos to me, kudos to God for using. Let me tell you something. God can use people in Egypt, and God can use a gay man too. I'm sorry. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Wow. So I go back down to the office and I said, Stuart, why did you go there? He said, Bobby, when I was young, God didn't come my mother. And I hit Christians. And I had said some of the most horrible, profane words in front of you, and you just look at me. You don't retaliate. I've tried you over and over again. I've tried to make you mad by saying these words, and you look at me. You don't look at me in words. Give you that, you look at me, and I can see your face, you feel sorry for me. You're different. I'm not saying I'm a believer. I'm just saying you're different. We are some Bible. The only Bible that they will see this. What did Francis Scott of Assisi say? Be a fervent witness, use words if you must. Wow. Wow. So I didn't know what to think, and I was already looking for another job, and then another job became available to me. I worked Monday through Friday. That's it. I said, God, this was the perfect job for me to get started back in the ministry. But evidently, that wasn't your will. And I started working part-time for this other company to go full-time with this company. And the more I felt uneasy, I couldn't get anybody that felt uneasy. You just couldn't get a clear answer from God. Paying me more money than I was making now. And promised me more once I come aboard full time. Doing the same thing I'm doing at work. And I said, this isn't God. I can't come aboard with you. Because frankly, God said no. And the whole time, Brother Paul, I'm kicking myself like this. I can't come. I can't come. And 3 weeks later, that's what you're doing. But
But if I was working 70 to 80 to 90 hours a week, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do what God had wanted me to do. So it's important, first of all, to do one thing. But a third person I want to bring into our sermon, Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went through the priests and asked letters from him to the synagogue to Damascus, so that I, he found any who were at the way, whether men or women, we might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And he journeyed and came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shined around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the gads. Does anyone know what a gad is? A gad is a long instrument before there was calico pokers. I call them calico pokers. Reverend's grandfather had cows, and I saw those guys, and some of y'all might have cows, and it's a DC current charge thing, so they can hit that cow with it. And what you do is actually you hit him with a charge. It's the same thing as a stun gun. You hit them bulls and get them in charge. Well, a gad was the same thing. They called it a gad because they gathered cows. It was blunt on one end, about this big amount was blunt. So the farmer could hold it. On the other end, it was very sharp. And when he would get an animal trying to get him to go in one direction, he would poke him with that sharp instrument there. And so he would begin to kick him. The more he kicked, the more he would stick himself. And the more he stick himself, the more he would succumb to the direction of where the shepherd or the farmer wanted him to go. So that brings us to mind, if we investigate this, you see, Jesus had been gathering and had been landed on Saul's heart who he was. This just didn't happen. This was months and months of Christ speaking to him. That's why Paul answered, is Lord, is that you? Because you see, it's been a time when Paul became uncomfortable. But I want you to realize right now, we have a young lady that is definitely in a sad situation. We have a man that's running wild in the graveyard, and he definitely wants to be healed. People are frightened of him. People are scared of him. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to realize that if somebody was in America, and I got to tell you this, we've got people going to foreign countries, and thank God. But I thank God for all the foreign people coming to America, because America's not going to be forever. I want this world's not going to stand forever, because God's coming back, and the New Jerusalem's coming back, and we're going to have worship time. Glory to God. We're going to have worship time with Christ. We're going to have a good old time. I can almost see the Father standing at the door. Hallelujah. I can see Gabriel getting his trumpet up, and he's signing, is it now? Is it now? Hallelujah. I can see it coming together. But from everybody all over the world is coming to America. Why? So we can tell them about Jesus. Glory to God. That is why. I don't care who they send. We better not let this nationality come to America. They take the job, but I'm going to give them Jesus. Oh, praise God. Praise God. You go. This young lady is obedient. You see, obedience. Faith does one thing. Faith executes. Listen. Faith executes God in motion. And he reacts to our proactivity of faith. Here's a lady who had faith. Here's a man with chains who has no faith. He has no Savior. But the Savior goes to him. I can see him right now. I wish somebody would do a video of the water, and I can see the fog coming. And I can see our Savior Jesus on the bow of the boat going over to the cemetery where the man's living. And the man's singing, oh, my deliverer is coming. Those of you who are suffering this morning, your deliverer is coming. for you. He wants to save you, sanctify you, fill you with the Holy Ghost, and set you free. Glory to God.
Amen.
And then there's Saul. The reason his name is Paul, he was a short man. Paul, and research Paul, in the Greek it means short. Jesus says, you full of all this knowledge and all your wisdom. You got all this doctrine about you, and you're really smart, aren't you? You got it all together. You up town. You up class. You drink from the fine tables, but you murdered my people. All your dignity, you are dignified. Dr. D.J. Kennedy, one of the greatest inspirations of my life. But he was dignified. But I want you to realize, some of us have got to become undignified. You see, some of us don't want to shake for Jesus because it's undignified. We don't want Jesus to use us because it's undignified. You see, when God saved me, I come from the slums. You see, I want you to not come from the ghettos. You see, I came for alcohol on the one side and prostitutes were on the other. And the police wouldn't come to our town because half of them had been beat up or shot. I want you to know when I told people where I was from, they took two steps back. And the first time I ever preached, I told them where I was from. Men actually went outside the church. I wouldn't rip off their cars just because of the area I was from. But I want you to realize that Jesus took me from that town. And when I go back to that town, I wear my finest clothes. The shadows drug dealers, I didn't need their drugs. Hallelujah. I didn't need their money. And you don't need what the world has to offer for you either. You don't need it. Here's a young lady who wanted to rear children in the family. Here's a man in the cemetery that's crying, and people are passing him every day. Probably dignified Saul passed him with all his knowledge one day. Who's that idiot over there? I'd kill him if he was a Christian, but he's not worth my hand. He's not worth it. I know so many things. I'm a philosopher. I know the dogma in which the creation of time began. And you guys have lost last year's Christmas ornament. But Jesus, just like some of you, God's got that gag at you. And the more you kick, the more it sticks you. And you're mad. And you're aggravated. And you're getting stuck more and more and more. Nothing's working for you. Nothing's turned up for you. Gosh, you ain't got a sour look on your face. You mad at God, you mad at your Christian friends, and you mad at society. The more you kick and the more you rebel, the madder you get. Humble like some little girl, glory to God, who finally said, no more. I'm going to the source. His name's Jesus. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to be proactive, and I'm going to go after my healing. Glory to God. What else have I got to lose? She said that at the beginning. I want you to realize that. Here's a man who thought the world had forgotten about him. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus will find you. He will find you. He will find you. What are you going to do when he finds you? And here's Saul. Dignified, knowledgeable. He says, is that you, Lord? I want you to go to a man. I don't have scriptures for this, but those of you who read the Bible, and if you don't agree with anything I'm saying, Pastor Meek, we do that next Sunday. And here's where we come to the Father's plan. We come to the point that we realize that I want you to lower yourself, dignified Saul. I want you to go find a man named Ananias. I see he's really just a worker. He's nothing great. I want you to go submit yourself to Ananias. He has no titles. He's my servant. He's going to pray for you. And you'll be delivered. Listen. This morning, I don't know where you stand with Christ. I want you to know one thing. I love you. In Christ loves you. But you see, what Jesus wants more than anything. Rose and I used to do puppets. I didn't do this. A friend of Rose did this. and I kind of did it myself. I had this daughter named Reverend Hezekiah Obadiah Jones. And Reverend Hezekiah Obadiah Jones, a puppet, when we used to be a puppet minister, used to say this: I'm just a puppet, but if I had a real heart, I would give it to Jesus. I want to ask you, how many times have you given your heart to Jesus to get the same answer? How many times have you opened the Bible to read the scriptures to get the same answer? How many of you right now are kicking against the goings, the gatherings? Each time you kick, it sticks you harder and harder every time. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it down. It's time to say, you know, I'm just going to lay it all on the line. I'm just going to lay it away, and I'm going to search for Jesus. If he's in the crowd, I'm going to interrupt him. If he's talking, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. He's coming to you with those chains. And those chains have been broken. Glory to God. I want you to know, if your chains have been broken, I want you to give God a glorified hallelujah and give him a praise. Every head bowed and every person praying here, give those chains away. They don't belong to you. Those chains belong to the enemy. You're not the enemy of God. God wants you to be clean. He wants you to be set free. He wants to infill you with the precious Holy Ghost. He wants to infill you with the sanctification power from on high. He wants to save you right where you are. If there's anyone, I don't believe in tricks. Thank God. Amen. You may say, I really don't feel comfortable going to that altar because as of right now, I am not really ready to meet that kind of commitment. But I do want you to pray for me at a time that I will. Would you raise your hand? Glory to God. God bless you. Is there another? Is there another? God bless you. Hallelujah. Is there another? If you would like to come down, we pray for you. We're here for you. This is not a time of embarrassment. This is a time that you can regain what God has for you. The fullness. You see, when the disciples were all filled with the Holy Ghost in the upper room, it was 2 weeks later before they received the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. Do you want the fullness? Do you need transformation power in your life to carry on where you are? I'm going to carry for a moment. God loves you. His power has redeemed you, and you're set free. You were set free. You were set free. Every eye closed, every head bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the sweet anointing. We thank you, Father, that you're healing our pastor. We thank you, Father, for a quick recovery. I thank you for each and every person that is here this morning. I pray, Father, that you touch us and be with us. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ, that you humble us. That God, that we don't walk around arrogantly or with pride. That, Lord, we're purchased with a price and we belong to you. We're a product of you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, may we be set free. May we be healed. And may we be obedient to receive our healing. May our chains fall off because of our obedience to bow down to you. And when we hear your voice, we cry out, is that you, Lord? What must I do? In Jesus' name, you know what? Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, may this be the very hour that your freedom begins to be set free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Yes, I am your God. I love you with a love, an everlasting love. I love you so much that I sent my only son to die for your sin. I am here to relieve you of your problems. I am your God. I am the great I am. I can do just what my word is telling you that I can do. I will do it if you will believe me and trust in me. I am your God. I will do just what I've told you I will do. Trust in my word. Be doers of my word and not just hearers of my word. I am your God, and I live with an everlasting love.
Lord. Because the Lord has spoken, I promise this no longer is anyone here. Anyone before I dismiss, please. Never leave when God is here. He is here. Hallelujah. Reach out and touch the Lord in Jesus' name. Was that for you this morning? Be obedient. Be obedient to the moving spirit. Be obedient. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The gentleness of the Heavenly Father opposes you. He is here. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Hallelujah.